Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
To the number one.
Number one.
The biggest podcast.
Biggest podcast.
I'm your host, Eddie McDuke.
I'm your host, Eddie McDuke.
I'm joined as always by Dr. Rosie Dr. Gizmoji.
Yeah.
And John Denver Sheeran.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, you only had to add just a last name.
Okay.
Right. And we have HR back in the room.
Back in business. By popular demand.
I'm not exactly.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know exactly why we have HR here every week.
You don't
who
know,
filed
huh?
The complaint.
Right.
I don't know, yeah. But we do. Yeah.
Yeah, someone doesn't feel comfortable being we don't know, no one has named who it is, but basically someone doesn't feel comfortable being alone in a room with Daddy, and that's why HR has to be here every week, week after week. Now, we don't know who it is.
Well, I think we can narrow it down to two people.
Yeah.
John, let me judge your facial expression, your reaction. No, but look, it's okay. It's okay. Because we have nothing to hide, Bridget. Don't go back and watch last week's show, because there's nothing to hide there. But I want to talk about first, real quick, that you can watch the show on Brinks.tv. And you can watch this show, you can watch the Ray Lewis show, you can watch the moms in the NFL show, all that stuff. And of course, they have all sorts of new programs all the time, and I'm looking at here at my notes that Courtney gave me, and they have a new podcast by Tucker Carlson.
Wow.
And it's called Too Few Good Men, and it is it's about increasing testosterone and kind of getting back to the manly man, you know, he's really concerned with how manly people are, and so that is a great podcast that she's trying to promote.
More men.
Right.
We're already at what, 75% here on the show.
Right. Yes. But look, also you can go to vino.app/dhsports and you have a direct line with us. You can talk about, there you go. You can talk about anything that you want. You get updates and all sorts of the draft picks and the insider news, who the Bengals are going to draft, who they are going to sign, who they are going to, let's say, work out, all that stuff, you can find it there.
And you can hear from more men.
Right.
More men.
Hear from more men, yes.
A few good men.
But look, John, speaking of the draft, we know that the Bengals are going to take a cornerback at some point. I would guess for sure in the first three rounds. I think you would agree, right?
Probably.
And, you know, we have this guy here, Alante Taylor. Right?
Not going to be drafted in the first three rounds, but continue.
Okay, all right. But he's a guy that the Bengals are looking at. He's from Tennessee. And, yeah, tell us about him, John.
Well, why is Swift? Is he also, like, Swift?
He's fast. He's fast. He plays cornerback. Yeah. He's fast, yeah.
That is true. He's on the older side, which I think is going to be a theme for the guys that we're going to talk about. He's, like, almost my age. And for a college football prospect entering the NFL, that's a little bit concerning. He's played a lot of time in college, and it's just a theme with a lot of these guys. But he tested really well at the combine. I think he was, like, in the 96th percentile in speed. It's in, like, the 80th percentile in explosion. And there's some people that are saying that, you know, the production is not quite there at cornerback because he's a little bit on the older side. There's some issues that he gets in terms of with physical receivers and whatnot. So some people are saying they should switch to safety, but I don't really know if I buy that because he's really experienced and he's really athletic. And to have that long speed, I think, in his back pocket, I think he can survive on the outside of the NFL. It's just a matter of when you take a guy like that, a guy who was just average in terms of production, who's going to be entering the league in his mid-20s. The thing about cornerbacks is that a lot of them, they have their best years when they're 23, 24 years old. And usually the best ones enter the NFL like 21, 22. So they get a couple of years to develop, and then they hit their stride towards the end of their rookie contracts. With this guy, he's entering the league already at his physical prime, so you're expecting him to come in and compete and give you quality snaps from day one. I don't really know if that's the case if you're drafting him in like the fourth or fifth round. So Taylor's interesting to me. I think he does have versatility ultimately at the end of the day, but maybe not a guy that you want to count on immediately to start day one.
Why is he so old, John? Why is he starting so
late? What do you mean, why is he so old? Because his parents didn't
That's gross. No, I'm talking about why is he entering the draft so late?
Yeah, I think I feel like that's very really personal to everyone.
Was he transferred? Was he injured?
No, he's just a true senior. He's just a guy who was really old coming into college.
Yeah,
he actually took all those courses. How old is he actually?
So he is 23, and he will turn 24 in December.
And we're calling that old.
Yeah. Old for these guys.
Joe Burrow was an old man too when we took him, right?
Yeah, Joe Burrow also has a December birthday. He's a Sagittarius, as Daddy-O, or excuse me, Hoji would know. And he turned 24 as a rookie, so about the same.
Strong-willed.
Yeah.
Now, John, today's show, we're going to talk a lot about the draft. And that means a lot of John.
Because, a lot of John.
You know, Hoji and I, we're not big college fans. You know, no. I don't watch. Yeah, I don't watch. No. But look, is that, John, is it because it's your show that you are finally observing the DNH Sports dress code and you're finally looking professional?
Actually dressed up like this because I had a job interview because I need to afford housing and food, and I don't really get that income from this program. So
reason that a lot of us are looking for new employment. So, Bridget, I'm glad this came up. There's been something that has been circulating around the DNH office, a document, a secret document, a memo.
Well, it is for all employees.
And Daddy-O did not email it because he knows that you read all the emails.
Mm-hmm.
And Courtney, can we pull up the image, the first image of... Now, if you can see, it's clearly Daddy-O's illiterate handwriting here. DH values, okay? Right. Yes. Tax breaks. I think that's what he was trying to say in the first one.
Put the breaks on all the... Yeah, you try to prevent all the taxes you can. Yeah.
And then you got overachieving.
Right. You want to be the top chief. You want to be the top at your game, be above everybody else. Yes.
So he's saying
Bengals definitely overachieved this year.
Absolutely.
That's right. And he's saying we all have to abide by these rules. Yes. Expertise.
John has expertise... He knows the math, that's some sort of complicated math for me, but expertise about the industry, about the sports.
This is all behind your back, Bridget. Ignition?
Yes. You have to have ignition. You have to from your lower legs, you have to be very active and proactive and have that self-ignition, yes.
Yes, and then cult sure.
I don't agree with that last one. There's something sure about cults.
No, everybody has to fall in line and buy into the culture here at the DNH Sports. You're always telling me about
culture,
Bridget. That's not
appropriate. Hold on. You can't
always
have secret.
Saying you have to culture building. That's what she said.
It's culture, right, not culture. Culture.
Yes. Right, exactly.
Yeah, and you see how he has his own
secret sort of memo that he spreads around behind your back, and he's trying to make us all fall in line, and poor John is wearing a suit. And can we bring the second image up? Now, look at when you look at the letters.
Right.
He is literally creating a toxic work environment.
By accident.
Literally. Is it though? I mean, this is we're living basically in the Enron of 2022.
I don't see the problem. I don't see the problem. You look at how much you've thrived, all of you, in your careers, John. All of you, yes.
None of us are thriving.
Let's move on.
I was doing much better before I met you.
I'm pretty sure John and I were called puppets last week. Are we thriving?
Yeah, can you believe that?
Are we?
It's a natural de-evolution. You'll get used to it.
So, Daddy, what are you making people do with that document?
No, that don't worry about it. Just
memorize it. He makes us memorize it and recite it.
It's about buying in. It's about buying into the culture here at the NHS Sports. Look, John, let's just move on, John. Look, the Bengals are interested in some receivers. And here's another guy, Isaiah Weston, who he had an incredible Ross score, John, RAS. I think it was one of the best.
Ross Tufari.
Yeah, was it maybe too high? You know, it was incredible. Was it 9.98 or something, John? Right? It was incredible.
Why would that be too high?
Like, I don't know. I think it's just to play.
Because he wants Ross Tufari to work, yeah. You see.
Yes.
It's a pun.
But John, so look, this guy is an incredible athlete, right? He's long, he's big, he's fast, he gets the deep balls. Why is he projected to go so low?
Do you know where he played at college?
Northern Western Iowa.
That's a trick question. No one knows. That's a made-up school. He played against future janitors and future plumbers and future accountants. Like, he is also really old. He's going to be like my age this year. And I think he played like 5-6 years at the lowest level of college football that you could possibly play. And when you're 6'3", 212, and run like a 4.40 and generate that score because you're really fast and explosive, you tend to dominate against guys who aren't athletically competent enough to match up with you. And that is ultimately, at the end of the day, a projection. If you're so old playing against guys who are younger than you and less athletic than you, and you're dominating, well, that's the expectation. How is that going to work in the NFL when everyone's just as athletic as you? And again, some of them are even going to be younger than you and even more athletic than you. And who knows what his technique is like? What kind of coaching is he getting at that fake university that you just said? So
I want this guy.
John, let me ask you something.
I want him. I tell you why.
I want him too.
I tell you why.
I want him like in the fifth or sixth round. Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be a little too much.
He has put on an elaborate charade creating a fake university.
Yes.
He reminds me of a young daddy-o, and he can get.
He has bought into the culture right here at the NHS.
Okay, so he could be on the show, but how do we know he's going to be a good football player?
John, DK.
Oh, I thought this draft was for the show.
I thought you were going to mention DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf did all this stuff against the SEC.
Okay. But John. He is skyrocketed because of his physical ability. They're like, that physicality is going to translate to NFL. I don't care about his technique or anything. And he went very high.
Wasn't Andrew Whitworth old? I mean,
we're throwing two different things at you, John. Age and DK Metcalf.
Well, age matters because, again, if you are older than everyone going up against you, you are more athletically developed,
right,
which is very much the case with this guy. You're expected to dominate. Like, that's the expectation, which is why he's going to end up finding himself on an NFL roster, but no one's going to draft him.
Andrew Whitworth was dominating in the Super Bowl at age 40. Okay, so
he's an exception to the rule. There's no problem looking at outliers, but you can't rely on outliers to always happen.
I didn't hit puberty until 23, John. But that doesn't mean my puberty is not going to last.
They had you on drugs. Your family had you on drugs. We won't talk about that now.
He's very afraid about the future. He can catch the ball. He can find some type of role, but you don't need to draft him because no one's going to draft him.
Yeah. Okay.
So are we drafting about a replacement?
Why are the Bengals working him out?
Or John?
Why are the Bengals working him out, John?
Because when the draft is over and all these guys are getting calls about sign here, you want to have established relationships with these guys so that you can make that call, you can make the connection. Hey, we talked a couple weeks before the draft. Would you like to join the Bengals on a college free agent deal? And that's how the process works.
John, here's your locker. Here's your locker. This is going to be your new best friend.
This is the class
pet.
How far did he play from Cincinnati? I don't know what the school was. How far was it?
Northern Iowa? 6 hour drive.
John.
Generous. Yeah, maybe 7, 8, 9.
Is that actually where he played? I was just guessing. Okay. So I don't know, because that's what I want to talk about the next segments along the lines. The Bengals are working out a lot of University of Cincinnati and Ohio State guys. Now, it used to be that the Bengals...
Wow, that worked well. Friends in close spaces, Garrett and Brooks. Is it really Garrett and Brooks? Is that really their names? You did a nice job there.
Yeah. But here's the thing, John. The Bengals have always been interested in Ohio State guys, but that was back when the team wasn't good and they were trying to boost morale by getting the local, you know, the homegrown kids, right?
Yeah.
Now that the team is good, I'm starting to wonder if their kind of obsession with Cincinnati, Ohio State, these type of guys could have to do with the fact that they only have 2 scouts or 6 scouts or whatever, and they don't have to travel as far, they don't have to travel as much, makes it easier on them and cheaper.
So what Zach Taylor said at a coach's clinic at Ohio State not even a week ago is that because of all the Ohio State players that we have that have produced well for us, we're going to look at Ohio State players more because there's a precedent for those guys doing well for them. And that's for Zach Taylor's coaching.
He's very good at the spinning things, better than me. Yes.
Sure. But I think that has some weight to it. If you trust the program, if they continually gift you quality players, then you're always going to take a longer look at them.
What about Cincinnati? Plus, Alec Pierce, and then we have this guy, Garrett. You know, we have all these.
Garrett is from Ohio State. Curtis Brooks is from UC. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. He's also kind of on the older side. I think he's going to be 24 years old, and that's going to be one of the reasons why he might not be drafted. But everything else about Curtis Brooks is phenomenal because he was really productive. He tested really well. He played in the defense. He didn't play in a defense that's too common in the NFL. Because he was like a nose tackle, like straight up, and isn't really the size of a nose tackle. So his projection in terms of his role in the NFL is a little bit shaky, but everything else about him, I think he might end up getting drafted in the late rounds. And I think it's good that he's now been in the building at UC. And yeah, I think that's a possibility for sure.
Yeah, they're going to have to invest in some ice packs, some Rogaine, some, you know, some hot and heat and some, you know, things for
it. I'm really interested in Haskell Garrett, though. Like, he became the first Ohio State player to win the Polynesian Player of the Year award. He was there for like 5-6 years. He ended up getting shot in the face, breaking up a bar fight in Columbus, and he came back to play football for 2 months. But then he played football, and he was pretty decent at it, but he didn't really test really well. So I don't really know where he's going to get drafted, and he's a nice story, though.
Yeah. But speaking of nice stories,
I think
we could go for a nice story right about now.
Sure. Story time?
Yes.
Let me then begin my Hojascope. So if you follow the Hollywood news the way I do, you've probably heard about Jared Leto. Jared Leto is a friend of mine. And he got in a bit of trouble recently because he's a method actor. And what that means is that he gets into a role by being totally absorbed in it, living that life. And he's playing in the movie Morbius, a man who is immobile and in a wheelchair. And so he went so far beyond with this with his commitment to being in the role and doing the method acting that they would literally roll him to the bathroom and have him in the wheelchair and help him into the bathroom and things like that. But method acting is just one kind of acting. There's another kind of acting, another school of acting, which Tom Cruise is committed to. I don't know if you've heard of the Meisner technique, but the Meisner technique, you master a certain move, certain accents and things like that, and then you kind of improvise on the spot, right? And that made me think of none other than Joseph Ossai. And you might say, what's the connection between Tom Cruise and Joseph Ossai? Joseph Ossai, an amazing, amazing player who was supposed to actually be playing this past year and would have had a Super Bowl run, but he got hurt. He tore his meniscus. He's born in Nigeria. He moved to the United States in 2010. Actually, he recently had a birthday on April 13th. He weighs 256 pounds. And the man is explosive. He's fast. He sacked Tom Brady, if you remember, in the preseason. We're excited to have him back. And he is a kind of method actor, if you will, of playing defense. The man, even like Tom Cruise, performed his own stunts. I don't know if you know that. He performed his own stunt in the game. He told Sam Hubbard, I'm going to do a stunt, and he did a stunt. It was amazing. And The man, like Tom Cruise, gets in the role. He prepares. He's fast. I don't know if you know, Tom Cruise will not allow other actors to run next to him. Did you know that? He will not allow that. And you can't run next to Joseph Asai. He's so fast and explosive. So my horoscope, my prediction for this man, who was not born on the 4th of July, which, by the way, Tom Cruise won a Golden Globe in 1990, also wheelchair. Yeah. Yeah, but anyways, my prediction is that Osai's mission, should he choose to accept it, will be to jump on the sofa of success, get 23 sacks this upcoming season, beating Reggie White's 21 sack in a year in 1987, TJ Watt's 22.5 in 2021, and Aaron Donald's 20.5 in 2018. I think this is the man. I think that we are going to see great things from Joseph Osai.
Wow. Well, I agree. I'm very excited about Osai. And that was, I didn't know he was so similar to Tom Cruise. That was very fascinating. But I
think he just wanted to talk about Tom Cruise, maybe.
Yeah, that's what that felt like. Great music, by the way. But let me just say this, Hoji. I hope you're not trying to get him on one of those crazy vegan diets to kind of make your kind of prediction come true. One of those, what is it that you put the little powders, the green powders in the water?
Athletic Greens.
Right.
Shall I talk about Athletic Greens?
Sure.
Because I'd like to talk about Athletic Greens. I feel strongly about Athletic Greens. Did you know that Athletic Greens is made in New Zealand by elves and hobbits with big and hairy feet? Did you know that while we call beans the magical fruit, Athletic Greens is really the magical fruit? Why? Because it's a delicious scoop of 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day right. Did you know that it's a special blend of ingredients that supports your gut health? It anti-aging. Boy, our Bengals team is going to need that, right? It supports a friendly range of diets, including my vegan diet. And you got to take it. I take it every day. I put it in the water. You go to athleticgreens.com/believe. That's B-L-E-A-V. athleticgreens.com/BLEAV, believe, and you get your Athletic Greens with a special deal, okay? 5 free travel packs with your first purchase and free 1-year supply. So just do it, okay?
Right. So they just go and they use that...
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Athletic Greens take the ownership of your health.
Right. Just the believe, yes, that go there. All right, well, finally, Bridget, you have the floor. Yes.
Awesome. So some real news. I don't know. I don't think we actually have real news. I was just being melodramatic, which is what happens when you disappear off the face of the earth for a week and then come back. So it is April. Does anybody know what month April represents? You know, sometimes we have months like Women's History Month, which was last month. Does anybody know what April is?
Well, I'm not reading the screen, but I think it's National Mountaineer Month or something.
It's a V. Volunteer.
Okay, good job, John. Yeah.
We all know John is more literate than Daddy-O. That's clear. So it is National Volunteer Month, and we've talked since I've been mandated to join this show.
May I just say, Bridget, that also former Prisoner of War Recognition Day is in April, and we are all prisoners of this show.
I think we all plead the fifth on that.
Yeah.
So we've talked about some different causes that our Bengals support, and just recently our own BJ Hill, who we know just got a big contract and will be coming back with the Bengals. He was back in his hometown of Oakboro, North Carolina, and I wanted to make sure I gave them the proper plug, Main Street Cup and Cone. So he was volunteering to say thank you to his hometown community. They became a huge part of the Houdet Nation on the Bengals' run to the Super Bowl. So he was scooping ice cream to say thank you for their support. And we all know that our Cincinnati Bengals players have huge hearts and do so much for the community. We've talked about Joe Burrow's Hunger Relief Fund, Hayden Hurst's foundation. I went back and watched a video that the Bengals posted around Christmas time, or around the holiday season, I should say, where locally in Cincinnati, they were supporting the Free Store Food Bank, the Salvation Army. Travion Williams did a toy drive. Joe Mixon went out and bought a bunch of bikes for kids in the area. So we've got a lot of our team who is volunteering all throughout the year. And I know we've got incredible fans who are part of the Houdet Nation who are volunteering and using their fandom to support great causes. So for folks listening, if people want to comment or tweet at us any causes that they support, that they volunteer for, we would love to hear that. And because I'm now sort of loving putting you all on the spot and asking you questions, I want to know, if you were to go out and volunteer tomorrow, what cause are you going to support? And I'm actually going to give you all a couple minutes. I'm going to go first. So I don't know if everybody knows this. I live in Cincinnati, and I'm on the board of a great local nonprofit. It's called Indigo Hippo, and it's an art supply store, a pay what you can, and they also do art support and services in the community to make art in creativity really accessible, especially to kids who may not be able to have access to art supplies. And we all know how important like creativity is to mental health. So that's my volunteer service that I do all year, but a cause that's really near and dear to my heart. And so if anyone, that's my shameless plug, if anyone's in Cincinnati, Indigo Hippo is right on Main Street, so you should definitely check them out.
Free art supplies.
They are not free.
Oh.
You should pay what you can. So
Bridget,
if you are...
I was going to say, I think your goodness balances out the evil of Daddy-O. Do you agree with that? Yin and yang.
I kind of want us to have like a Star Wars lightsaber.
Just agree. It's okay. You saw the paper.
I saw the paper. So, Hoji, where would you volunteer? What cause would
I am really torn between two that matter a lot to me. The first, Helping Hands Monkey Helpers. I don't know if you've heard of them, but Helping Hand Monkey Helpers trains monkeys to help people with special needs who need animal help. And the second one might strike you as a little bit odd, but it's called Be a Deer and Donate a Brassiere. And basically there are women all over America who do not have brassieres, and this makes sure that anybody who needs a brassiere can get a brassiere. Now, I used to be heavier than I am now. Yes, I used to wear a brassiere. I am not ashamed of that. Yes, I used to wear a male bra. That is nothing to be ashamed of. Do not fat shame me. But I tell you what. If I were homeless and I wanted and I needed that help, Bridget, I would want to have that help. So Be a Deer, Donate a Brassiere is the first one, and my second choice is the Monkey Hands, Helping Hands Monkey Helpers. Yeah.
All right, let's go to John. Thanks,
Hoji. I did some volunteer work in college with some homeless shelters and some food kitchens, and I think that's usually the place that I would go next, just because those people don't get enough support, and homelessness is already way higher than it should be. It's higher than zero, so until we can get that down, I think we could all do a little bit more work to get that under control a little bit.
All right, Daddy-O. Make us proud.
We'll be proud. I don't just volunteer.
This man has never given anything in his
life. Hold on. I don't just volunteer in this month. I do it all the time. I actually volunteer at a number of local restaurants, because I don't know if you know, but we have a problem where people are throwing out delicious food that is in perfectly good condition. These restaurants, they just throw it into the dumpster. And, you know, it's basically, there's no reason they should be doing that. So, and I know how overstaffed people are, these restaurant workers, and they don't have the time to take
the dumpster. Understaffed.
Yeah, and so I go and I help them. I tell them, any food you want to throw out, I will take it to the dumpster for you. I've been doing this for quite some time.
They should take you to the dumpster.
Daddy, that sounds like stealing.
That's not a charity. You're
wait. Yes or no question. Does the food make it to the dumpster?
It does. He eats it out of the dumpster. The man wears a tie, a silk tie, and eats out of a dumpster. You know, can you, by the way, I got to say, Bridget, I hear the purring of your cat. It is such a cute cat.
Sorry.
Can we see? Can we see Matilda?
Yes.
This will cheer us up after Daddy-O's nihilistic dumpster eating, dumpster diving.
Well, I would give my leftover food to Matilda, 100%.
She would love your leftover food. Look at
I think we could. I think we should replace Daddy-O as host with Matilda. Matilda would do a better job, and she wouldn't be as cruel.
Matilda was a rescue cat from Perfect Friends Cat Rescue. So animal charities are also a great way to volunteer.
Adorable.
Right. Well, another great way to volunteer your money is by giving it to us on the show. You can go to patreon.com.
No, that's not volunteering.
No.
But look, you look at this show. Look at this. Look how complete.
Thumbs up it. Yeah. Thumbs up it.
Yeah, do that. Do the thumbs up.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Turn on notifications. It's a little bell. Make sure you turn that on. And leave comments. We want to see comments. Look,
I'd like to apologize
to all our fans if we don't engage with the chats, because we can't do that without Brinks. But I see them after the show. And if you're watching us anywhere, you can obviously subscribe to the number one Bengals podcast. And we are DNH Sports on YouTube if you're watching us on the Believe YouTube channel. That is all we have.
Yeah.
Under the four, Dr. Roji, Dr. Kismoji, and John Denver Sheeran, and HR, M. Daddy McDoug. We'll see you next time. So long, SWT Pies.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.